It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Republicans have announced that Senator Marco Rubio of Florida will deliver the GOP response to President Obama's State of the Union address next Tuesday. In a first, he will do it in both English and Spanish. Rubio's job won't be an easy one. As NPR's Brian Naylor reports, the State of the Union has always been a tough act to follow.
The first televised response to a presidential State of the Union message came in 1966. It was not an immediate answer. Senator Everett Dirksen of Illinois and Congressman Gerald Ford of Michigan waited 5 full days to deliver the Republican rebuttal to President Lyndon Johnson. Dirksen focused on foreign affairs, mellifluously offering support to Johnson on the biggest foreign policy question of the day, the growing U.S. involvement in Vietnam.
Let it be intensified, if necessary, as sound military judgment dictates. There is, after all, no substitute for victory.
Ford's job was to rebut the president's domestic policies, which he did while sounding a familiar GOP theme.
The executive branch has become a bureaucratic jungle, and time has come to explore its wild growth and cut it back.
Ford and Dirksen's response was delivered before an audience of Republicans in the old Senate chamber, a template for future State of the Union responses, which more often than not have been delivered by congressional leaders in the Capitol. Here is then-Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield responding to President Richard Nixon in 1974 with the cloud of a major scandal overhead.
The question of impeachment and the matters of the Watergate hearings create onerous responsibilities for the Congress. They are also inescapable responsibilities.
The State of the Union response itself has at times seemed an inescapable responsibility, doomed to be ignored and forgotten. Jeff Schussel was a speechwriter for Bill Clinton, and he says following the State of the Union is near impossible.
This is the big one. This is the one that gets the Super Bowl buildup. And then you cut to someone else who's not president of the United States in a room somewhere giving a speech that is shorter and smaller in probably every respect. And so the dynamics of the moment are always going to cut against the person or people delivering the rebuttal.
In the 80s, Democrats had the thankless task of following the great communicator himself, Ronald Reagan. Twice they sent out Speaker Jim Wright and Senate Majority Leader Robert Byrd, who were of Reagan's generation, yet seemed to speak for an even older era.
We still marvel at what we've achieved when government has been both America's sail and her keel, when we have driven ahead but stayed clear of the shoals.
In their 1985 response to Reagan, Democrats debuted a new wrinkle, showcasing politicians from outside Washington. The first of these was a young governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton.
We have a new list of strong Democrats to lead the way, bold leaders who are building bridges to the 21st century.
Former Clinton speechwriter Jeff Schussel.
Often the selection of the speaker, him or herself, is supposed to send some kind of message. Often opposing parties will try to take the discussion out of Washington so that they can run in the next election as Washington outsiders.
Christy Todd Whitman gave the 1995 response from the State House in New Jersey after being elected governor there. In 2009, Bobby Jindal gave the response to the new President Obama from the governor's mansion in Baton Rouge.
As a child, I remember going to the grocery store with my dad. Growing up in India, he had seen extreme poverty. As we walked through the aisles, looking at the endless variety on the shelves, he would tell me, "Bobby, Americans can do anything." I still believe that to this day.
Jindal's speech did not give his own career much of a boost. This year, the job is Florida Senator Marco Rubio's, also the son of an immigrant. He, too, will have to make his party's case to voters after a disappointing election. For Rubio, as for others before him, the honor comes with a cautionary note. First, do no harm. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.